Good morning. I'm glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning and glad to welcome visitors and guests whom we have with us. And we're glad you're here and hope you'll come and join us again. Can you believe the nerve of Jim ending his prelude when I was still talking back there? Well, okay, but don't let it happen again. No. All right, just to remind you that Joanna is still on vacation today. She does come back today. And don't forget that next Sunday we have a congregational dinner in her honor as she finishes up her internship here among us for her year here. So it'll be an exciting day. There's information in your Go and Serve about what's being served. You're invited to bring sides to share. Karen, is there anything else we need to say? Karen, was it? 6 o'clock Saturday night, come help set up, please. Groveling and begging, please. All right, Shannon, you wanted to talk about Family Promise. There you are. Also, you'll notice at the end of the month we have Sunday school and youth rally days. You might talk a little bit more about the youth rally day in a moment. But notice that in your Go and Serve. There are important things there. Sarah. Sarah,
yeah.
You gonna bring your child?
In February, yes.
Okay. Today is an exciting day in the life of our church as we receive some new members. You'll find them listed on the front of your Go and Serve. And so if they will come forward and gather behind me, facing y'all as I call their names. We have Adam and Samantha Balknight, Casey Audrey Himmel and their sons Cameron and Elliot, Donnie Knight, Emily Knight, Steve and Joni Kroll, and Sarah Lodeholt. You will also see in your Go and Serve, Herb Sheely is listed there. Herb has been here forever, but will be joining Monday night. And that'll be a first for them as well. So for Monday night to get a new member like that, it's kind of exciting. Well, we are excited for all of y'all and excited that you have found a home here among us and that we invite you into all that this church offers to be part of and also, even more importantly, to know the grace, love, and mercy of God as we gather. May we pray. Loving God, your grace is beyond measure and your love so great. As you welcome us so eagerly into your arms of love, may we now extend our arms of love and welcome to these newest members of your family here. Bless us with your presence and your grace. Lead us in faith and service and love as we follow you and live our lives together to your honor and glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Great. Thank you and welcome. Oh, we're going to applaud you. Let us prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace.
peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen, amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches, wisdom and strength, and honor, blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Sing with all the people of God, and join in the hymn of all creation, blessing, honor, glory, and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. For the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
O God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair, deliver your sons and daughters from fear, and preserve us in the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Be seated, and with the children, please come forward. Good morning, y'all. Does anybody know what this is? A life jacket. And when would I use it? When?
When I go to the lake.
Or to the beach. And this is a particular kind of life jacket that you use when you're skiing. Can't you see me out of the hanging out on the skis? Yes, I knew you could picture that in your mind. I always ski in my robe, in fact. Somehow I don't think they believe that. But anyway, this is and if I fall off my skis, what does this do? It floats. Well, that's not going to help me. I'm over here. Yes?
It'll like, don't run away.
Okay, but if I'm skiing and I fell, this would just be showing everybody where it was I fell, right? Not if I was wearing it.
Yes.
If I was wearing it, then I would float too, right?
Yes.
You've been on a boat before. It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it is important to have a life jacket. Call it a life jacket because it helps save my life. That's right. You're exactly right. So this is kind of cool. And I was thinking about this today because in our gospel lesson we're going to hear in just a few minutes, Jesus is out on a lake. We call it the Sea of Galilee. And you know what he's doing out there? He's not skiing. He's not riding a jet ski. He's not fishing. He's not in a boat either. What's he doing? He's walking on the water. Do you think he had one of these?
No,
he didn't have one of these. And so he's walking on the water, and the disciples, they are in a boat, and they see him. And do you know what Peter says? He says, Lord, if it's you. By the way, there's a big storm going on. He says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out there walking on the water too. Now, that's where I got thinking about this. Because if I were Peter and I said that, I believe I'd want one of these on. What do you think?
Yeah.
Can't you see Peter in that boat with his robe on? And he'd put one of these on so he could walk out there to Jesus on the water. Have you ever walked on water?
No.
No, me either. Me either. And Jesus could do it. That was the cool thing. And so Jesus says, come. And so Peter gets out and walks on the water out to Jesus. But he gets out there, and you know what? He realizes, I'm standing on water. And then he realizes there's a storm going on, and there's waves, and there's wind, and all that. And he gets scared. And you know what happens?
He falls.
Yeah, he starts sinking. And he sure does. And he didn't have one of these life preservers on. He didn't have a life jacket. And so he calls out to Jesus. He says, Lord, save me. And Jesus does. And that's what I want you to remember. Anytime we're in trouble, Jesus saves. That's what we're remembering today. We don't need, it's nice to have a life preserver and life jacket when you're going swimming. But in lots of ways, when we need Jesus the most, Jesus is right there for us, loving us and taking care of us. And he'll save us from our problems. So that's what I wanted you to remember today, okay? Yes? Are you going to try to walk on water? Let me know if you succeed, okay? All right. I think that's a good plan. Yeah. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and always being there to help us in our times of need. Lead us always to follow you. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord. Oh, you'll give them later. You'll have a chance for that later. All right, Eli, you're going to crawl.
The first lesson is a reading from 1 Kings. At Oreb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, What are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. He said, Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, What are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone and left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall announce Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall announce Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat of Abel-Mahalah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elijah shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is a reading from Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one believes with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I've told you many times before that one of my favorite things to do is to ask people what their favorite Bible stories are. I'm liable to hear just about anything from the feeding of the 5,000 or the Christmas story to some obscure story that few know, but which has some special meaning for the person telling me about it. The stories are often from the Gospels, but really might come from anywhere in the Bible. But one of the most intriguing things to me over the years, as I have asked that question and had those conversations, is that almost always, somewhere in the conversation, other favorites are mentioned. And more often than not, someone mentions the story of Jesus walking on the water. It's a story that fascinates us. And there are lots of moments in the story that capture our imagination. We notice that moment when Jesus wants to be alone to pray, to draw close to God and renew himself in spirit. And somehow it connects to that same need within us. We can't help but connect with that moment with those disciples in that boat struggling against the wind and the waves. And it is so familiar to us as we have known countless struggles in our own lives. And then we can only imagine the feelings those disciples must have felt in that moment when they saw Jesus walking out there on the sea, staring in shock and bewilderment, gaping in fear. And if that's not enough, then comes the part that fascinates us even more. Jesus comforts their fears, assuring us that in the midst of our storms, he is with us. And then comes that moment. Peter suddenly says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." What was he thinking? But then Jesus says,
come. And right about there, I began to try to picture myself somewhere in this story. But I have to admit, I have trouble deciding where. Sometimes I see this story as if I were in the boat watching Peter as he got out of the boat in the midst of the storm, holding my breath as he does, staring in wonder. And other times I imagine what it must have been like to be Peter, climbing over the side, holding my breath even longer, what it must have felt like to have the water firm up under your foot, keeping eyes ever on Jesus. And then, I think it gets easy to place ourselves in the story, doesn't it? Peter suddenly realizes where he is, and we probably know exactly how he felt right then. His attention turns to his situation, just like our focus is so often on our own worries and concerns and fears. He notices the wind and the waves, and he begins to sink. And he cries out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus does. Jesus does. Jesus saves Peter just as Jesus comforts, helps, and saves us. Well, the story seems to wrap up rather quickly then. Jesus chides Peter for his fear and not trusting God, no matter how strong the wind and waves of his life are. And then they get into the boat and the wind ceases. And I have to tell you, of all the moments in this story, I think this is the one that is the most dramatic. It's a furious story. Things happen quickly and in a frenzy. There's a storm. Jesus is out there on the water. Peter is out there too. Peter sinks and Jesus saves. Events just seem to tumble over each other. But then suddenly, when they climb into the boat, there is a calm. It seems to me that there must have been a moment there, right then, when the impact of all that had happened, when the import of all they had seen came flooding in. They must have stared in shock and bewilderment, gazing in amazement, wonder, and awe. In that moment of silence, in that moment of sheer silence, they knew they were in the presence of God. Being in the presence of God is a holy moment. And perhaps the odd thing is that so often it seems to happen in silence. For Elijah on that mountain, God wasn't in the fury of the wind or the chaos of the earthquake or the frenzy of the fire. But rather, after all that, in the midst of a sheer silence, Elijah met God and was sent new on his mission. They are holy moments. Moments when we know the awesomeness and wonder of God in our lives. They are moments when we know that God is great, that great is God's faithfulness to us, and that God comes to save. They are moments when we know God's love and grace. And they are moments when, once renewed, we are sent new to serve. In the frenzy of our lives, may we cling to those moments. Watch for those holy, quiet moments when you can feel God near. Listen for God's word. Draw close to God's heart. Our lives are full of moments. May we find God filling each one. Amen. Thank you.
Gathered as God's people, we profess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of salvation, as we walk the waves of our lives, help us to keep our eyes ever on you. Increase our trust. Strengthen our faith. Save us when we fail. Embolden us in faith and action. Remind us that we are yours and that nothing, no storm of our lives, and separate us from your love. Lord, in your mercy, God of grace, we hardly know what to say today. We've gotten used to a world of violence, but this week the violence happened among us, by us. It was a violence fueled by hate and division, so far away from your kingdom and who you call us to be. More than ever, O God, we need thy kingdom to come among us. Now, O God, fill us with your love. Fill us with healing and hope. Be with, bless, and comfort those who suffered and those who have so much hurt and anger in their lives that they seek to lash out and hurt others. Make us one people. Make us your people. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, you have given us mercy. Help us to give mercy to others. Open our hearts to bear one another's burdens, living and giving Christ's word of peace to all your people. Lord, in your mercy. God of gentleness, we pray for the sick, the sorrowed, those frightened or alone, asking that you might scatter your grace upon them. Be with any in need, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace with one another.
us pray.
Merciful God, you are the one who
open our lives to live it.
We pray this through Christ our Lord. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this
day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass
against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice, may we thirst for your way of peace, for you are Lord forevermore. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.